Welcome to Illuminated, the 12 Months of I podcast. This month's topic is intention, and we're thrilled to explore this powerful theme with our special guest, Bill Gannon, CEO of the Gannon Group. Bill is an expert in enhancing communication across all levels of organizations, helping individuals and teams develop strong interpersonal and presentation skills. At the Gannon Group, Bill leads programs that sharpen sales teams' interpersonal communication, guides executives to deliver compelling presentations, and coaches individuals to strengthen their public speaking abilities. With a rich portfolio of clients across diverse industries, the Gannon Group also assists startup entrepreneurs like myself in making their pitch presentations unforgettable and impactful. Bill is a member of the National Speakers Association and an award-winning storyteller at The Moth, bringing a wealth of experience and insight to our discussion. So join us as we delve into the art of intention and how setting clear intentions can transform communication and leadership. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Thank you, Debbie. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
It is so great. We have now known each other a bit now, and every time I talk to you, I always get new nuggets of information about interpersonal communications and presentations, and I thought this was a great way to have you on the show to talk about intentional communications. And what we were talking about before this was goal setting, which was really, really interesting. So I'd love for you to kind of give people, if there's a little more backstory to how you got into what you do, and then we can kind of delve right into some of the really cool things you want to talk about.
Thanks, Debbie. Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me on. And like you, you know, I've only moved to Nashville a couple of years ago, and that's when we first got to know each other. And I've enjoyed every encounter, mostly with our speaking group that we both participate in, and then the network of people that are around that. So I found Nashville to be an instantly connective community. So thanks for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, as I think about communication and intention that we were going to talk about, I naturally do speak on a lot of presentation coaching skills. What do good slides look like? What's the art of the one-to-one communication or presentation across a desk? How do I do the best with if I'm speaking at a conference to hundreds of people? Anything in between. And as you mentioned in the intro, I cut across a lot of industries because, of course, as different as industries are, funny thing about communication, it's a very consistent DNA across that. And as I think about intention, one of the things that jumped to mind was, as we prepare for presentations, and these can be any size, critical presentations can be across the desk, they can be big rooms, as we said, they can be internal presentations, presentations to colleagues, the list goes on and on. I find that we don't always get a focused goal of our presentation or how we want to communicate. We tend to fall under that, I want to build my business, I want to develop a new set of contacts, and those are fine, sort of overarching goals, but we want to drive into, what do I want to do in this meeting? What do I want to do with this speech? What do I want to do with this presentation to, as you well know, with Versatour, with investors, with technology partners? What do I want to accomplish at this? And that's what I spend a lot of time working with people on. We got to get a goal. If we get the goal, now we can start to build it out from there. But without a goal, we're just talking about standard rules of presentation.
Yeah, that brings me to, you know, goal setting and what we're all taught in, you know, have the vision, have that goal in mind. But sometimes we all forget to kind of create the small little steps that go that lead up to that, those milestones, the things you can do every day. And, you know, I think that it really is important, especially in communication, to be talking to people every day about what you do. What are some nuggets of information that you can give to people that can help them use intent in their communication skills on a daily basis?
Yeah. And think about this. We're having presentations every day of our life. Sometimes it's to friends and neighbors. Sometimes it's to church groups. Sometimes it's community groups. And of course, the overarching work, but family communication oftentimes can lead to small presentations of sorts. And the nugget number one, I think, is clarity, right? Have a goal of clarity. This is also coming from a 37-year married gentleman. So I can tell you that we've had more than a few times when clarity would be really well thought out before we get into this. Like, what do we want to get out of the end of it? So what does that mean? It means I have a goal and I want to be very clear in my communication that it's going toward that goal. And sometimes that means there are two or three critical questions that I know I want to ask that'll help me get closer to that. Now, questions are great. As long as you listen to the answers. Because oftentimes, and this happens with sales teams a lot, they're trained to ask questions. They're not trained to listen especially well. And part of listening is giving that space for the person and offering open-ended extensions like, interesting, tell me more. Huh. Help me understand that better. And those little phrases, those little nuggets can open up all new levels of information coming across. And it's funny, the best communicators don't do a majority of the talking.
And very, this doesn't, very true.
And it doesn't feel right if we're not commanding the room.
It's very interesting because I was listening to another podcast and they had a special agent on, a female agent who didn't think she was going to be a CIA operative, you know, talking to criminals and trying to get stuff out of them. And she talked a lot about what you just said, which was, it's like, it's what's not in the information they want to give you. It's in the information that you're kind of trying to get out of people that they don't realize it. Oh, tell me more, or clarifying questions, because we all have a script when we walk in, especially when we are presenting. We have a script, but it's the questions after and what you say when you're not scripted are usually the details that you're actually looking for in order to make that sale or make that connection. So that was pretty interesting. Like, that's spot on.
And if I can, thank you. And if I can add on to that, some of the things I tell salespeople are, you've been working on a presentation for, say, weeks, and you've got the appointment and it didn't cancel for the third time and you finally got it. And so you get in the door and you've got your deck and the mentality is, by God, I've worked on this for 3-5 weeks and you're going to hear everything that's in this presentation because it's great. And one of the toughest questions that I ask people to make sure they ask at the beginning of the call is, Debbie, if you're the client, Debbie, I'm so glad we've had the time to finally sit down together. And I know the last time we talked presumably might have been many weeks ago when you sent me on the assignment to do the presentation. Great. But here's my question. And this is the one for your listeners and viewers. Has anything significant changed since the last time we talked with regard to this presentation? And be prepared for, yes, something's changed. And now what happens is you've told that recipient, we're going to call it the client, or you told that client, yes, I have a lot ready here, but it's way more important that I know how things are today to make sure we're still on track. And I can't tell you how many clients have fed back, oh my goodness, if calls could only start that way.
Yeah, we usually leave that for the end for some silly reason, which that's really, really interesting. It actually happened to me 2 weeks ago with a potential client I was going back and forth with. I've had this presentation. The person that I started with is no longer there. I can see that this is still going, that they need something. But I did kind of start that conversation with, has anything changed? Because it seems like something's stopping you from moving on. What's the one thing that I can do to help? And she goes, well, we kind of went from looking for a venue to possibly buying our own. That's a huge difference. That just changes my conversation, what I can tell her my options are for help. So I do think that starting that conversation with, hey, what's changed since the last time we talked, is a huge That's a huge question to ask because things do change.
It's a gift. It's a gift of conversation. It's such a gift to give the person who's doing the buying or the decision making the honor to realize that their life has changed, and business life, and, you know, is what we're talking about here, probably 100 times since the last time you talked, with new priorities and new cutbacks or new additions and on and on. And to give them the courtesy and the gift of, please tell me what's changed, and then intently listen. And this is another place where we break down. Even if they know enough to ask the question, oftentimes it's, okay, get it out of your system because I want to start this presentation. And it's exactly the opposite is, I wonder how what's being told to me right now about change affects what I've prepared. Because a very thoughtful and intentional answer after, or reply, I should say, after that is, well, based on what you've just told me, Debbie, I think 2/3 of what I presented is probably now not as relevant as it was. And while it would be swell to talk about it, it seems like about 1/3 of this is still on the mark. And maybe you've played back what you heard because of budget cuts, because of new priorities, because of whatever. And then simply say, would it be okay use of both of our time if I just try to address what's left over with this last portion? And most clients will gladly say yes, because you're not in there just ready to throw them everything you've had.
Yeah. Going after, you know, that's why I love this conversation so much, is because you can walk into any situation and things could have changed day by day. And I think that we are so sometimes caught up in ourselves and our lives that we forget to ask sometimes, how are you doing? You know, sometimes I just forget, you know, when someone's like, oh, how are you doing? I'm doing great. This is all this stuff that's going on. It's been so blah, blah. And then you're like, then you jump into the next thing and you go, you know what? How are you doing? You know, what's going on in your life, and understanding or knowing, you know, what is going on in someone's life. We actually started our call with me asking about your trip, which
I just going to say that, but you beat me to it. You opened it with literally, how was your trip? And you know that that was months ago, but you remembered it was kind of a big major trip, and you just remembered to ask about it, which is always so courteous, because it just starts the engagement process. And oftentimes there's this, the intention is to speak. And if I could leave another nugget, the intention is really to listen. And then play back what you're hearing into the most relevant way you can. So that's intention number one by far, the willingness to listen and surrender the floor.
That's very interesting. So what has popped in my brain when you just said that was those phone calls that I get a lot. You know, they're looking for an event planner, looking for something. And I always get the assistant to talk to. Like, that's the first, like, they're like the fishing expedition that they want to find out about me, when my intent of that call is to find out about, is this client going to fit me? Do I have the time to take this on? Do they have the details? I fish for details. And a lot of the times those assistants are younger. They don't really know anything, and they're just here to get information, to prod information out. How do you go about a conversation like that when you are trying to get the information out and asking the right questions and trying to listen, but they have a totally different intention?
The best way to work with that is to appreciate, first of all, the person on the phone. While they may not satisfy the overall need of wanting the details, getting to the decision maker, they're nonetheless a gatekeeper of something. Maybe they're just a first filter or whatever. By treating these folks with, okay, maybe you're not the key decision maker, but you're kind of an influencer. Like, if we have a good conversation, you're probably going to be either open to the next time I'm on the phone with you or in a web call, or you might even make a favorable comment to the decision maker. Well, we went through this list, and I have to tell you that Debbie is probably the most engaging of all of these. Instead of blasting me with everything we had, she gave me a good overview and told me, these would be the remaining details that would really help me make the best kind of presentation. But she didn't try to jam them all down my throat, and she didn't, because why? That's not the right person to send it to. Because you just said you need to hear it from the people who are actually. So I think the trick is to categorize and respect. Let me understand who you are, but now I'm going to respect it, and I'm going to give you a quality, a high quality phone call, parentheses, in my head, even though I know you're not the person who's going to make the decision. And that's so much better than the, you're kind of a doormat, you're kind of a gate on the way to somebody I really want to speak to, so let's just get this through. And people can pick, you know, I've said, sorry to digress, I've said this forever to salespeople. I love to go, and I played a lot more golf when I was younger and through my career because it was just part of the business. But when I interviewed people, I really enjoyed, if they golfed, say, you know what? Let's go out for 9 holes. What you learn over 9 holes of golf is so much more interesting than you would ever learn across the desk, especially if this is a candidate. Maybe you're wooing a little bit, you know, but you find out how they treat other people. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you stop at the grill and you have a bite to eat and you listen to how they talk to waiters and waitresses, and you find out what happens when they have bad luck on the course or something good. All these things reveal character. So we can't go golf with everybody, and that's not everybody's cup of tea, but by giving them a chance to speak and asking those, tell me a little bit more. That's interesting. I've never heard that before. Help me understand. They all go into that other level of conversation, and these are the things we listen for. So can't stress it enough. Respect that person. Give them a high quality call, and you're probably going to get up to that next level too.
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting. You were talking about working with like salespeople a lot. I know that's one of the things that you do in, you know, effectively teaching salespeople effective communications. Now that can go anywhere from a car salesperson to a hotel salesperson. Like you work in very diverse industries. What is the one takeaway that you have from all of these different types of salespeople that you've been able to effectively instill in them as a takeaway for them to move forward in their communication skills?
We teach something called how to become the MVA, most valuable asset to your client. And we start by saying, you know, every one of your clients can complete this sentence. The best person that calls on me is, they all have someone who they think is the best person that calls on them. And it can be over the years, no doubt. Some of these can be longevity. I get those. But others can be just people who always bring them helpful information, positive, not always positive, but insights from the market, who aren't always there selling them. And so what I try to, one communication thing I've told just about any sales group is, look, if you want to be interesting, then you have to be interested, right? You have to be asking questions all the time. And I know that sounds repetitive, but that's how conversational ping pong happens, right? We want to go back and cross. We don't want to just be serving at them all the time. We want to feel that nice back and forth. And I would say that's the one. You've got to be interested in the other person to be interesting. And that means their business. It could mean them personally, and it could mean both. And those are the people that the clients love to fill in at the end. These are people I kind of look forward to getting a phone call from.
Now, you bring up a really good point. You've said phone call and person. Now, we all know there's been, you know, there's been a pandemic. There's been the entire generation of, you know, internet when we're not really talking to people. We live in email. Now, email communication can be just as important as face-to-face. I get this a lot. It's very, very funny that, especially my emails, I tend to be very direct because I don't want to waste people's time. I kind of write, you know, what it is. But I've actually gotten people to say, you know what, you just seemed mean. Like, people think I'm mean. I'm like, I'm not. I'm a New Yorker. But, like, I'm not going to say, you know, hey, you know, that's why. but I'm direct. I want to get to the point. I don't want to waste people's time. And I think that especially in written communication, we are not doing a very good job of communicating well. How do you tackle that when you're not able to talk to someone in person or able to pick up the phone call? Because people don't even pick up the calls anymore. They screen their calls. They don't call you back and all that. Like written communication, how do you kind of get over that feeling of not being able to communicate well?
That's a big one because, let's face it, a lot of our clients tell us, just send me email. I check my email. I look into it. And you need to respect their channels of communication. You can add to it. You can do that. And then send a handwritten note. You can do that and do some other things to kind of personalize it. But let's just stay with email for a minute. It's kind of like dressing up for a party. You can always take off the tie once you get there. You can always remove the jacket that you're using to, you know. But you can't dress up, can you? Once you're underdressed and you show up, that's how you feel the whole time. And I think being direct is more like dressing up. Like, if I just start with a very, this is what you asked for, here's what we are, I'm going to save you time. You're coming in from a time-saving, efficient, direct way. The minute they lighten the mood with anything, you get a cue from that, and Debbie, I know you personally, you'll be happy to have a more warm engagement after that, if that's where they are. But direct is always the preferred way. I tell people, we do a personality grid comparison. It's the four areas of, are you assertive or non-assertive? Do you think analytically or emotionally? And then we put these little squares out there and help identify communication types. And most people ask in every session, when you don't know, where do you go? And I generally default to the more analytical quadrant to say, you'll never make a mistake being a little more direct, being a little less storytelling, being a little less. And if they offer you the opportunity to come in and do that, great. But you'll never waste their time by being more direct and a little more, here it is. So, and of course, as long as you've covered the bases, you don't want to make it so short and brief that it's not complete. You want to make sure. I love that approach. And I think we all see emails enough to know, you know, try to get to the point and try to get me, especially if it's unsolicited, try to get me interested. But if it's been solicited, get to the point.
Yeah.
You've already had the exchange that led to this. So make it direct.
All right. Well, then I feel a lot better about myself.
You're on the path. You're doing good. You don't need to put little comic characters in or, you know, load it with emoticons. Yeah. You're good.
Yeah, you try to be as thoughtful as you possibly can. And I try to write in my voice. I think that's really important that people understand that I'm a person, that I have a voice. And, you know, sometimes, and I've learned writing skills over the years and getting a lot better at it. But yeah, sometimes you're just like, I just have a question. And I do think that some people respect that and like that. And then there's some people like, wow, that came off rude. And it's like, I don't know, like I can't win it yet either way. So, but you know, most of the people do, you know me. So hopefully that it's not usually an issue, but yeah, as I get into a little more, unsolicited communication, I try to start things with, especially my newsletters and stuff like that, with really people understanding who I am and where I am. I've always said I'm an open book. I'm vulnerable. I'm a person. Like, I didn't create a company because I was a techie. I created out of a need. I created out of what I saw people. And I think that's what people are compelled to. Like, you saw a need. You just didn't be like, I'm going to go do that. You did it out of probably some necessity or a gift you have. And I think that the people who are genuine, it does come across in their communication skills.
It does. We teach another thing at the Gannon Group very consistently, and that is never mix your communication either. So let's say that never mix it when it comes to finding out the status of your proposal. So the proposal goes in by email. And I'm always of the encouraging them while they're looking at that. This is a great time to go find information that's out there in the market bits of info that you just think will help them do their job better or, you know, be relevant to them, and send it. Because, and here's the rule, but never mix it with, and by the way, you know, I wanted to check on how our proposal's doing. Because that way, any grace that you've bought in the beginning of the email is instantly taken out. Because So what you're really doing is checking on your proposal. When the reality is, they know you're calling to check in on the proposal. They know the business you're in. And they know they're sitting on a decision for you. So by being disciplined to send out something, and this goes back to intent, if you're disciplined in sending, I saw this in the journal, I saw this on CNET, I saw this in different, and send it, and sincerely, Debbie, Bill, done. No kicker, no nothing about the proposal is such a better message than, and of course, please let me know how the proposal's going. It kills everything that you've written before it.
I started doing, especially my proposals, is I don't send them. I say, we're booking a meeting. We're going to go over this together.
Always better.
Yeah.
You brought up email, but you'll always hear me speak in the, when you're in the call, when you're on the phone, tense, because I don't think there's anything that takes the place of that opportunity to be there face-to-face.
On the phone. And I think that walking through and asking, I don't even show them the price until, like, I don't like attach prices. Like, this is what we discussed. These are the needs you asked me to do. Can you please verify that is correct? Yes. Move on to the next session. And then making sure that they're agreeing. And then you go to the next page and you spell out your pricing because they've now agreed that this is what they want, right? So going to that last page, it shouldn't be sticker shock or shouldn't be a shock to them that they have to pay for these services. I find that that keeps the door open at least. Some people are like, whoa, I didn't really expect that. I'm like, well, that's what you asked for. That's what it would cost. And I think that it really has helped in that qualifying. I've listened to you. Mm. You've listened to me now. Did I get that right? And keeping the conversation open. So at the end, you know, I may not have booked that business for March yet, but I still have a call with them next week. I went to an event of theirs last week because they wanted me to see and take notes. They're still interested. Am I getting that huge one? But no, I might get a piece of it. And those are the things you want to keep open. But on the other side, the listening to the ones that do not fit. Like, what are those cues in other people's communication where it's like, red flags go up, this is a bad idea? Do you have any tips for people to be like, don't work with that client type of thing?
Well, of course, depending on your business, and I know Beers, of course, is creating these amazing tours that people can use, and you want people to use it in a beautifully automated manner. Fantastic. Really is a fantastic idea. Every company still runs with a certain true north setting in their how they do their business. And if you really find a mismatch to that compass point, and we all have to adapt, let's be honest, we need to be flexible. But the minute you're sort of going the wrong way, heading backwards on it, you really do need to check it and see. Even if I accept this position, even if I accept this project, it could bury me. And I've heard from colleagues that they're terribly demanding and they've already knocked out three other proposals on, you know, or companies that I've known along the way for not particularly valid reasons, according to the best you can figure out. Who's to say, why do you believe it is going to be all that different? So the discipline is simply to suss that out as best you can and make a decision. And I don't think there's a wrong time to say you're just not going to move forward, as long as you haven't committed to anything, and simply say, I have to be totally transparent. Based on all the priorities we have here right now, I'm not sure we can provide you the level of service that this is going to require.
I love that. That is
an honest way to say it.
Yeah. And I also do love making sure that you're doing your homework for clients. You know, you don't want to walk into a meeting or a call or whatever that is and not understand who you're talking to. I do a lot of times. I'll go on LinkedIn. I'll find out who these people are. I got an email the other day, and it was someone who introduced me. I emailed her. I said, hey, I'd like to talk to you, blah, blah. She sent an email back, and her phone number was a 917 number, which is a New York exchange. And I was like, hey, by the way, are you from New York? It's being tapped in sometimes, and which will open up maybe another conversation. Hey, yeah, how did you know that? And right. I try to look for those little cues by not just listening to people and not just kind of, but not trolling people, but like really finding out who they are. And LinkedIn is a great place for that. Or, you know, finding out where they've worked before or what school they went to. I think that all of that is really interesting because that makes up the person.
Couldn't agree more.
So I love it.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say people are people.
Right? They all come from somewhere. They all have brothers or sisters, or they don't, and they pets, and all of this stuff that makes humans humans. You know, one of the subjects I keynote on is, you know, we've been talking face to face as human beings, and we'll go back to the pyramids, okay, for 6,000 years. And of course, we're not doing face to face now, but you get my point. This is how communication happened for just eons. And sure, letters were, you know, messages were sent across the Greek countryside. And yes, of course, the phone was invented. And yeah, that's all true. But you notice that was still one person communicating to one person. And there's time to respond and time to go back and forth. Everything went haywire in the late 90s when email came into the picture. Mm-hmm. Because those formerly businesses would send typed memos in envelopes that were sent to by mail to other offices. Even if it was in the same office building, it was in your outbox while a mail person picked it up and put it in the mail carrier. And then they go to the mailroom and sort it out. And then they drop it off at the other person's desk, which could be 2 hours later. There's been time. We've just had the courtesy of time and direct course communication that's all been eroded away.
Yeah.
Because when you get an email fast, what's your obligation?
Respond.
Respond fast. So you're not putting the thinking time. Did we all of a sudden get exponentially smarter and faster thinkers because we did email? Of course not. So we shortcut our way to just kind of back and forth. And it really has damaged a lot of that whole interpersonal characteristic. So I'm with you. We look for those human traits to keep us all bonded. Mm-hmm. And I signed my email signature at the bottom from beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. It has started conversations, and it could start a new one with the next person. I see you're from Nashville, .. Mm-hmm. What's going to come from that? I don't know, but it's information that everybody can relate to. So, you know, rock on. Just keep finding the humanity in the humans.
Absolutely. And I just love that, you know, we're back. I mean, I bet you're seeing that there's a lot of events. There's a lot of more. Let's go have lunch. We've had lunch together. And just all of that is getting back. But there is that time. One of the things that I do is I don't have my notifications set. I hate notifications, but like I don't have notifications for my email. I will take a time that I'll check them, but I'm very responsive. Nobody ever waits, but I'm not, you know, getting up in the middle of the night to so-and-so, you know.
I can attest to this, by the way. You're an excellent email partner.
I don't let it go, but it's like if I'm on vacation and I've told you I'm on vacation, I am not responding to you because guess what? I'm on vacation and I'm not checking. Yeah. I told you that. I was very communicative and I told you I will not be checking this email. And I think that that's, you know, and also, you know, quantifying things. If I do see it, be like, hey, I just want to make sure you know that I saw this and I will get back to this when I return. Maybe bump it up to my email on Monday so I remember because guess what? I'm at the beach right now type of thing, you know?
And bumping it up, I think, is a totally going back to your email disciplines. Mm-hmm. I think bumping it up to the top of your inbox is totally legit as long as that's all you do. Mm-hmm. You're probably back just bumping this up to your inbox.
Yep.
Done.
That's it.
I actually emailed someone yesterday knowing they're on vacation, just saying, I know you're on vacation. I'm looking for your out of office. So the person who I need to contact, I just put it out there. Like, I only need right. who I need to contact because I know you're out.
Right.
And she knew, she came back. She knew that I found the person, but I wasn't like, get back to me. Like I would just put it out there. It's like, I'm not looking for you. I'm looking for the person who's replaced you right now. And
absolutely.
You just have to be open and honest with people. And sometimes you need the information immediately. And you just, you know, I just find just being yourself and open and honest and kind and, you know, and also like trying to just be compassionate with people. Like that's one thing, we're not compassionate with ourselves. We'll beat ourselves up. I'm starting to learn that very much. It's like, oh, I'm trying to be very compassionate to people and understand them better and know that they've got stuff they're going through. And I think that if we all live in a world like that with compassion and empathy, we'll definitely communicate a lot better.
We don't dare want to go down a political slippery slope here, but after Donald Trump's attempted assassination, some people took to LinkedIn about some politics. And somebody wrote something I thought which was very balanced. It was very, you know, we have to get away from vitriol and craziness and settle back in. And I said, I don't know this person. I reposted it and said, I don't know this person. I don't follow this person. But when I read it, I thought it was lucid and I just have these thoughts. And what it boiled down to is, look, we have to be a little less concerned with even who is president than who are we as citizens.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot more powerful if we as citizens find a mission or a true north or a sense of common ground, way more than it's going to be who's sitting in the White House at any given time.
Yeah, it's true. We got to be neighbors again. We have to be neighbors. We have to, you know, just be people and stop worrying about the top, because they're not actually doing anything. It's all us minions down here doing it all. We're the decision makers, essentially, and we have to take that power back and realize that it is our power to be with each other in this world. I don't have to sit next to, I never have to meet who's in the White House, but I have to talk to my neighbor or share a street with them. You know, and we have to really get over some of this. Well, you know, Bill, it has been so wonderful talking with you. We probably can talk all day, but we actually have an event to get
to
tonight.
That would be for a second and third episode.
Yeah. But I want to thank you. I want you to tell everyone kind of how to find you. We'll actually put that information on the show notes as well. But tell people how to find you and kind of what your perfect client is.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I've enjoyed this very much too, Debbie. You're always lots of fun talking with you. And the Gannon Group is spelled, first of all, with one N in the middle. And that'll find me. If you put two N's, like everybody else's Gannon is spelled, it'll send you to a stock brokerage in somewhere in Missouri. But the Gannon Group, G-A-N-O-N, will always find me. So the Gannon Group, www.thegannongroup.com is the website. You'll see it says, I'm a presentation coach. That's what I work on. And I help any presentation, as we've said, from one-to-one across the desks to the critical presentations of internal meetings that you have to give. And these aren't always with slides. These are sometimes phone calls. These are sometimes web calls. Presentations happen all the time. So that's the purpose of the Gannon Group. An ideal client realizes that is probably a medium-sized company, probably in that 50 to 200 range. When you go above 200, generally that kind of help gets solicited by larger, bigger firms. When you're below 50, sometimes they don't even know they need it yet because they're growing. But I've certainly worked with companies. But that's kind of my sweet spot in there.
Awesome. Well, also you're a keynote speaker. You speak in front of groups as well, so you're available for that. And I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, and hopefully a lot of people got something out of this, and especially being able to communicate with a communication expert is always fun for me. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Debbie. Thanks very much.